thing. You wouldn't normally think of that as a stewardship scripture, would you? But hear these words this morning from Proverbs, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Know Him in all your paths, and He will keep your way straight. Don't consider yourself wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then your body will be healthy and your bones strengthened. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Amen. So I heard about first fruits, the first part of your crop, and the reward of being faithful and loyal to God's work. Our barns will be full, and our wine vats will be bursting. Picture that in your mind. Stewardship in this scripture. You know, when we look at stewardship, we think about, well, giving money, right? Like I shared with the youth, the kids this morning. You know, when you do a stewardship campaign, the pastor feels funny about standing up here and telling you we need to keep the water on and we need to keep the electric on. But that's the stewardship of the church. If we were not able to do that, we couldn't carry on our ministry here. But what I want to focus on initially this morning is those other things that we read in our scripture this morning. If we look at that, the truths that are contained in Proverbs 3, we see a pattern for stewardship. Stewardship is lordship. Through our stewardship, our faith walk revolves. Think about that for a minute. It's not just about your money. It's about your time and your talents as well. Now, I speak to a lot of people trying to get them involved in things at church. And a common thing I hear is, I have no talents. I can't be anything. I'm so poor I can barely pay attention. First of all. But if it is God speaking only today through this scripture about only people that are rich, that are geniuses, that have a lot of knowledge about things, people that have plenty of time on your hands. I know most of you in this room have plenty of time on your hands, right? Don't you have plenty of time on your hands? I do. I get up in the morning and wonder, what am I going to do today? I really have enough plenty to do. I'm going to get some breakfast. But the day is empty. So around noon, when I get out of bed, I think, well, if there's anything I could do for God today. Nah, He's got it covered. He's a big God. He doesn't need me. Has God ever spoke to you in those terms? Has that voice in your head that we like to say is God speaking to us? Ever said, stay in bed. I got it covered today. That church you go to on Sunday morning, they've got $50 million in the bank. You don't have to worry about that. They got it covered. The electric's never going to be turned off. The yard's always going to get mowed. The roof is not going to leak, which it actually is leaking. We laugh about the lights. We've done some work on the sound system here, which is in desperate need of a little TLC. As you see the yellow banner out there by the door with the thermometer on it, we've had our capital campaign, I would say, about a year now, I would suspect. I don't know exactly when we started it, but it seems like it was last winter. We had a $20,000 goal to fix the sound system. The lights in here are terrible. They really do need some work. And we have a dishwasher that doesn't work in the kitchen. Now, there's a lot of folks here today. Does anyone like to wash dishes by hand? David? Did anyone, someone over here raise their hand? Well, David, I'm glad you joined the church. David, that dishwasher over there is $10,000. We about had a heart attack when we priced it out. That's the original dishwasher for this church, bought in 1972, I think it was. It's done pretty good, hasn't it? Do the math. That's 45 years or more. But thank goodness we have David now. Because I'm going to tell the trustees that we don't need a dishwasher. Let's pay David $5,000 and we're set. David, are you good for another 45 years? Oh, come on. I think you could be. So you see, I'm just giving you a little nuts and bolts about what it takes. You all know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I just want you to know we have an opportunity this time of year. Last week, I understand Susan had a great message. She's not here today for me to brag on, but I heard a lot of positive comments about her testimony as to how God works through people. And that's what he's doing here for each one of you. So as we go through our next week, we'll have our pledge commitments. You'll see the little cards. You'll get them in the mail this week. If you don't, we will have some next week for you. I don't have to explain to most of you how a pledge card works. But when we pledge a tithe to the church, it gives the church an idea of what we can expect this year. Now, I will tell you that the pledges from last year, we fell short this year. Not so short that we didn't make it ends meet, but we were a little short of what we pledged last year. So next week, you're going to have an opportunity to submit a pledge card. And the pastor's not going to come and knock on your door and say, look, this is what you promised. Where is it at? I'm not going to do that to you. But my prayer for you is that God will speak to you through this message today from Proverbs. That scripture started with trust in the Lord with all your heart. Times are tough for a lot of people today, a lot of us in this room. But the biggest part of this message is trust. In John 14:23, Jesus, in his own words, said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home with him. Jesus is telling us there that God loves us. And if we trust him and have faith in him, what's going to happen? We're going to fall flat on our face. Do we trust God? The scripture in Malachi, it's used every season of stewardship. That's why it did use it. I'm going to bring it up here. It says to give to the work of God, and your reward will be overflowing. I won't go all into my own personal testimony of tithing. tell you, it works. About, this is time getting away from me. Over 20 years ago now, wow, I've been tithing for almost 20 years, 20 plus years, I guess. It was during my first marriage to my first wife. 5 years into our marriage, and we both had great jobs. I loved it because she actually made more money than me. You know how many years I had to look to find a woman who surpassed my income? That's why I couldn't get married until I was 32. But I found someone, and we got married, and we had our life, and happy life, blah, 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 blah. When we got married, we decided, hey, let's give this tithing thing a try. We were making a decent money. I said, okay, that might work. Because unlike you, probably many of you, I sat in the pews and thought, here we go again, pastor up there begging for money, and I'd click the switch off and I would read something and think about love and do after church. But now, over 20 years ago, a marriage commitment that we made to one another was our tithe. 5 years into that marriage, she got sick. She got a brain tumor. From the time she went in the hospital, I continued to tithe. Of course, for a while she had her income, so it wasn't an issue. And as we progressed through that disease over a 5-plus-year period, we continued to tithe faithfully. At every juncture in her illness, her company was very good to her and kept her on the salary for a year, I think. And she was home. I mean, she was in bad shape. Finally, she thought she was well enough, she could go back to work. She tried to go back to work. She just couldn't do it. So her income was slashed by over half. I continued to tithe. We did as a couple. And not once did I ever have to worry about money. Because the amazing thing was, we traveled all over the country for treatments, for things that we thought would help her in her situation. Went to Boston, went to Tampa, we went everywhere. Went to Houston. And through it all, we tied. And at the end of the month, when I paid the bills, we always had money left over. And I knew in my mind, I'm not a math major, but I can tell you that when you have a certain income and it's slashed in half, your bills haven't changed, they're actually increased because now you're traveling, you're doing, you're staying in hotels for a month at a time sometimes. And the bills were always paid. My story here is of God's faithfulness back to us. I was amazed every month how we paid the bills, how we did the things we needed to do, how we could travel. I mean, we could just get on a plane at a moment's notice and fly to Boston or fly to Houston. And the whole time I'm thinking, how is this happening? We can't afford this. You know what? We did afford that. My testimony of stewardship and tithing is, we've tithed ever since Nancy and I got married, and we've continued to tithe. It's been a part of our marriage covenant to give first fruits to the Lord. All I can say is, go to Malachi 3:10, I believe it is. And God says, trust me. It's the only place in the Bible that says God's telling us to test Him in this. Only we don't think it's a good idea to test God, do we? He's a big God. He can make you do something. But He says, test me in this. So I can stand here personally and tell you that tithing has changed my life and my married life and the life and the life of my wife. Because as we're faithful to God, you hear me say it all the time, it's a blessing to be a blessing. With our money, with our time, our talents. Any of you know I've traveled to Cuba a couple times thinking I'm going to go over there and really help those people out. I'm somebody. I went over there and I was blessed beyond belief by a culture, by a people that really wonder where their next meal is coming from. I came away from that experience more richly blessed than I could have ever done for them. That's how God works in our lives. That's stewardship. That's using our time, our talents, and our money. So if we get an opportunity next week to come together as a congregation, we're going to have time to come forward and commit ourselves to the work of the Lord. It's first fruits. And I'm going to say something out. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to guarantee that God is going to take care of you in that. Because He's taking care of me. He's taking care of us. He's blessed us beyond belief. So that's our message today. If we go with the will of God and follow the will of God for each of us in our lives, the promise is there. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Will be blessed beyond belief. This church does some mighty work. But is there more we can do? Absolutely. Is there more you can do? Absolutely. If you get up in the morning and draw a breath, there's something you can do in the kingdom of God. No matter what that is, God wants you to find Him. He wants you to find your gift and share it with others. Can you all do that? Do you like to share? There's no better thing to share than the love of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. I love that message of Christmas. We were given a gift. It's not much fun to take our gift and run home and get in the closet and sit there and huddle over it and not let anyone share our joy. You've been given a gift of time, talent, and money. So as you get an opportunity, I hope this week that you pray on that. For one thing, I would never want someone to make a commitment without prayer. Go to God. Go to the Lord. Pray and find out how God tugs on your heart. I guarantee you He'll give you an answer if you just seek Him. He'll give you the answer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.